You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
Good morning, friends, and good morning, those of you who are online with us. Welcome here. My name is Alice, and I am on the preaching team. I work with international student ministry at local universities, and the fun fact is I actually started back at school this year at the age of 49. Woo! And I'm studying missiology, so missions. So I'm excited to be able to bring God's word to you today. So let's start with just a quick reflection. First thing that comes to your mind when I say Holy Spirit, first word, first image, guidance. Yeah. Like first thing, now hold on to that. It could be random. It could be profound. It could be okay if nothing comes to you. I pray that a word would come to you as we talk about the Holy Spirit today. The word could be emotional, mystical. Hold on to this word. Mull on it. Lord, why this word? Where does it come from? When I say Holy Spirit, what comes to you? Is it a hope? Is it a word that Pastor Paul mentioned in the previous few sermons? Is it a fear? Pastor Paul, for those of you who are just joining us now, Pastor Paul started us a couple weeks ago on this Holy Spirit from the Old Testament and how the Holy Spirit was involved in creation, in the prophetic word of God, and empowering and anointing leaders. Last week, Pastor Paul preached upon the Holy Spirit in the Gospels, how the Holy Spirit was involved in the shaping and forming in Jesus' ministry from his birth to his baptism to his ministry to establish the kingdom of God. Today, we're going to look at the Pentecost account. But before we get there, let's back up a little and go to Ascension Day. We just celebrated Ascension Day a couple days ago. Let's go to the Ascension. Since Acts is also written by Luke, Luke-Acts is like one book together. It's like Act 1, Act 2 of a play, Chapter 1, Chapter 2, sequel, prequel. So it's helpful for us to read Acts as we read Luke as we read Acts also. And what's fascinating is Luke actually mentions the Holy Spirit the most out of all the Gospels, something like 15, 17 times. But in Acts, the Holy Spirit gets mentioned 50 times. So this is a great passage, and I'm just going to touch on Pentecost today. I would encourage you to read so much of Acts and follow the Holy Spirit along. And so let's start at Luke 24, Jesus and his ascension. Could we get a little more light here? I can't see my notes, as Pastor Paul said last week. This is part of getting old, friends. So let's start. Luke 24. And Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany. Lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Jesus knows he's leaving, and he's ascending to heaven, so he gives them some last words. He tells them to stay in the city and wait. Wait for the promise from the Father. This promise is the Holy Spirit's presence that will come upon them. And then they will be clothed in power from on high for a specific purpose, and that is to be a witness. Witness to the fact that Jesus suffered and rose from the dead, and to proclaim the repentance for the forgiveness of sins in his name to all the nations. So here we see presence, Jesus' God's promise, will clothe them in power for a purpose. Presence, power, and purpose. And what I love in the end here, it says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And we're continually in the temple blessing God. I'm not sure, but every time I think about Pentecost, I always thought the disciples were like scared, huddled in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. But it's not true. If we read the prequel, we see they were actually pretty excited. They were praising God continually. They were ready for the Holy Spirit to come, and they had a lot of joy. And so Luke in Acts 1 repeats the same story of Jesus' ascension, so it must be somewhat important. So Acts 1, 4 to 5 and 8 to 9 says this, on one occasion when he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, he goes on and says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Again, so we see that the gift the Father promised is going to come on them, his presence. And they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and receive power. And what's the purpose? To be witness in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. I'm fascinated by Luke's version of Jesus' instructions. In Matthew, Jesus' instruction is much more of a command, a commission. Go, make disciples in all the earth. But Luke's instruction is like, wait. Wait for the Spirit. So David Bosch, a South African missiologist, said that it's less of a mandate and a commission. It's more of a fact and a promise. It's more like, wait, the Holy Spirit will come. He will give you power, and you will be my witness. And I love this word witness also. The word witness is like what we think. It's a trial. In a trial in a court, you're giving what you saw. You're giving the facts. You're sort of testifying to what happened. And what I like about the word witness is you're just telling people, they're just telling people what happened, who Jesus is, what he has done, and what's your experience. And so I feel like it gives a little the weight of sort of like the fear of sharing. It releases some of that weight. Because all you don't have to manufacture anything. You don't have to come up with something. You're not the lawyer. You don't have to convince. All you need to do is share. We're just telling our experiences of what we've experienced from the triune God. So we do not need to fear when we share our experience. All you need to do is share your story, how Jesus found you, how he changed you, how he walked with you. That is part of your witness. And so one thing that really fascinates me also is like God doesn't need us to be witnesses. He could actually do a lot of it. You know, Paul, when he became, you know, just like, boom, I make you blind. I talk to you from the sky. And we do see that happening these days. There are Muslims who are hearing Jesus in dreams. But it's amazing that God chooses to use us, and he desires to use us to be a witness. And this imagery I have, actually, one time we had an ant infestation in our house. My youngest was about 4 or 5, and I was looking at the ants crawling in, you know, fun. And I was like, for some reason, I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about the power of God. And so I tell my 4-year-old Elijah, I was like, we are like these ants, and God is a God like us. And sometimes we feel like we're an ant that can carry 2 kernels of rice, so I'm better than the ant next to me. I can do it. But really, we're just ants. So in some ways, God doesn't need us. But God chooses to use us. And so it's not about comparing ourselves to others. It's about sharing about what God has for us. And so this is where we're at. Jesus ascends. The disciples are waiting with joy, praising God. God has promised presence, power, and purpose. And so let's get into Pentecost, the actual passage. Now, I'm going to try something different here. I want us to sort of get into this passage. So I want us to get a feel for it. For some of us, this passage is super common, and we've read it and heard it a lot of times. So I want to make it interactive. For some of you, it's brand new, and I want also for you to be interactive and alive for you. So here, we're going to try this. And for those of you that come from louder, expressive cultures, please help me out. So I'm going to read this passage, Acts 2, when Pentecost comes, during Pentecost. When it says blowing of a violent wind, I want you to make wind sounds, like violent wind sounds, okay? Then there will be a part where they start speaking in tongues. I want you to speak your native language and just like either read this passage, say hi to someone, speak in tongues all at the same time from your native language, okay? Then there will be how the people react to what happens. There is three times it says bewildered, utterly amazed, perplexed. And for some of you, you can just do this. For other of you, if you want to be amazed, you can be like, okay, you can do it to me, you can do it to your friends, do whatever is comfortable. If you're new here, we don't always do this, but hey, this is how we do it, doing it today. So, are you ready? I'm going to try to give you a cue, and we'll see what happens. Ready? Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, blowing violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. It began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongues? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors of Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of a God in our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they had too much wine. So how was that? Right? It was a little chaotic. It was a little chaotic, right? And I hope you felt the amazement, the utter amazement that what's going on here? The gift has finally come. His presence, the gift has finally come. Something cosmic is happening. Something otherworldly. There's a violent wind. You know, Holy Spirit has been compared to wind before. There's violent wind. There's tongues of fire. We don't think it's literal flames because it says seems like tongues of fire. But fire in the Old Testament has been shown to be about the presence of God. And they were given power to speak in languages. And it was understood. And they witnessed to Jews from all over the world declaring the wonders of God. And as we were like speaking in different languages, it was a bit chaotic, right? And so there are some people who wonder if the miracle here is a miracle of speaking or a miracle of hearing. Have you ever thought of that? Is this a miracle of speaking or hearing? Like, are they all speaking just one language and people are hearing it differently? Or are they actually speaking different languages? In verse 4 and 7, speaking is mentioned. Hearing is mentioned three times in 6, 8, and 11. I think most scholars think it's speaking, the miracle. But as we were doing it, you know, it says in Acts 1:15, there's 120 people there. And they were speaking at least 15 languages, if you count the number of places that was listed. Can you imagine the chaos? Were you able to make out your own language when people were speaking? I wonder if part of the miracle was also the fact that you can pick up your own language in this chaos. I don't know. That's just my hypothesis. No scholar has said that. So I wonder if the miracle is the ability to hear one's own language above the noise. It's fascinating, though. So everybody from everywhere is here. You can see the list of cities from around the known world. This is where everybody's come. This is where the list of 15, so it's from all around. And Pentecost was one of the four important Jewish holidays, so that's why people were coming from all around the world. And they experienced this amazing cosmic thing. Bewildered, utterly amazed, amazed and perplexed. But it's funny that in the end that, you know, there's some people who mocked it. Anytime something happens that's unexplainable, there will always be people who will be like, I'm not sure. So we have to be prepared for that, right? Even this amazing, fascinating thing, people were still mocking. And so people are like, they're drunk. And Peter stands up and says, no, it's 9 in the morning, we're not drunk. And he explains this miracle. He explains why this happened. And fascinatingly enough, it's to fulfill prophecy. Peter actually talks about an Old Testament passage. And so let's read together in Acts 2, 16 to 20. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. Peter refers to Joel, to this prophecy where the Holy Spirit will come on everybody. As Pastor Paul mentioned, in the Old Testament, the Spirit only came on sort of prophets, kings, once to artisans, building important things, and it would come and it would leave. So it wasn't, no one had it permanently in them. But here we are to receive the Holy Spirit permanently, the presence of God permanently. It doesn't matter your age. Young folk get it. Old folks get it. You know, some of us come from more hierarchical cultures where it's like, young people, you need to wait. You need to stay your place. You need to learn some more wisdom. Wait. No. Holy Spirit's going to come upon the young people. Yeah. And they will prophesy and see visions. Old men will dream dreams. And it's for the male and the female. It's for daughters and sons. Now, I looked, and there's no explicit passage in the Old Testament that says the Holy Spirit came on a woman. Now, there's priestesses and prophetesses, and you assume that that would have happened, but there's no specific. But here it says specifically, over and over, right? Male and female servants, young and old, daughters and sons. So everybody will get it, no matter sort of your age, no matter your gender, and even no matter your social status, servants will get it. Male and female servants, everybody. The Holy Spirit will be on everybody. You don't have to be an amazing leader. It's not, you know, a king. You don't have to be a prophet. All of us will receive the Holy Spirit. And so we will get the presence of the Lord, and we will get the power that comes with it for his purpose. And in the end of Joel here, I'll just go touch real quick. In the end of Acts here with Joel, there's some mysterious language, like wonders in heaven, signs below, blood and smoke. And it's like, oh, what's up with that? It says, before the day of the Lord comes. When Jesus comes back, that we believe that there will be some cosmic earthly disturbances that signal that God's direct intervention in history. It might be metaphorical, it might be literal, we're not sure. But when Jesus comes back. Now, many scholars and theologians interpret this passage in Joel to be partially fulfilled when Pentecost happened. So Pentecost happens. That's why there's some, like, wondrous things that happen. And then when Jesus comes, Jesus left and Jesus will come back. And we're in this exciting stage in between of the already but not yet. Like the promises of Jesus is already coming down, but it's not yet to its complete fulfillment. And in this stage, he has poured out his presence, his power for a specific purpose for us in this stage, in this messianic stage. And so Peter goes on to preach, I would encourage you to read it, that people were cut to the heart. He goes on to preach a sermon, and then the listeners were convicted by the words and repentant and baptized. And that day, 3,000 was added to them. 3,000 people believed. And then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. The Spirit gives us power not just individually, but communally also, for us as a community. And so Pentecost inaugurates this new era where the Holy Spirit comes and gives us presence, power, and purpose communally. And it's interesting in Acts that it goes on. The Holy Spirit works in terms of empowering the apostles to speak. Sometimes the Holy Spirit directs the mission's efforts, right? Directs Philip where to go. Paul, he says, don't go here, go here. The Holy Spirit directs, inspires prophecy, helps govern the church in making decisions. But most importantly, the Holy Spirit sort of helps enfold the Gentiles, the people from all over the world, into the purposes of God. And so we see that happening over and over in Acts, that it's about us being included in God's work. And so that's exciting to us because I think most of us are Gentiles here, right? There's a few maybe Jews in the room, but God, the Holy Spirit also works to enfold all of us. And this is a picture of that. Pentecost ushers in a new age, and we are the picture of that church. And it's fascinating that this ragtag group of marginalized Jews with no political, military, financial, social power started spreading the good news of Jesus. And it spread throughout all the earth. And it's because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that is the call to us, is to share the good news to Jerusalem, our home, to all Judea, surrounding areas, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So if you are just checking out Christianity, the spiritual world might be something you've experienced or you're aware of, or it might be something that you're not. You might have grown up like me, more in cerebral, rational, scientific, and the spiritual world is sort of like, oh, interesting. I would encourage you to ask folks around you about their experiences of the Holy Spirit. I actually would love for us to talk more about our experiences with the Holy Spirit with each other. We come from very different denominations, different backgrounds, and this is another talk, but we need to be able to share. How do we share with each other our experiences in a way that honors each other, but learns from each other also? So I would encourage, if this is sort of something new to you, ask people around, start talking about it. And for us who are Christians in the room, God has given us his presence, his power, and his purposes. We see this flow out through the Ascension and Pentecost very clearly. Now, these three things are very interrelated. When you experience God's presence, sort of his power will naturally flow, and it will naturally flow to the purposes. They're very interrelated, but I'm going to split them up a little bit, just for diagnosis. Because for some of us, our personalities, our fears, might neglect one part of this three, presence, power, and purpose. And it might be preventing us from flowing naturally. You might be in a certain phase of life. So the question for us is, out of these three, presence, power, and purpose, which one is God telling you to focus more on? I asked you to think about earlier when I said Holy Spirit, what came up? Is that something that God wants you to lean into, or is that actually a fear that God wants you to think about. So out of these three, which one is God asking you to focus on? So some of you might enjoy his presence a lot and even enjoy his power, but you've forgotten that it's for a purpose. It's to be a witness. It's a witness to Jesus' death, resurrection, to offer and share about his repentance and forgiveness of sins. So the purpose might be what God is telling you to focus on. Or maybe you're so focused on the purpose and on the mission, but you've forgotten that it's actually about intimacy with God. That you actually need to experience God. And that's where the purpose, power and purpose flows from, is that experience with God. Or maybe some of you are afraid of the power part, right? I understand the presence of God, I understand the purpose, but the power part sort of, I'm not sure. And for me, that was actually most of my life was more that way. I came from, like I said, a cerebral, scientific background, so it was harder for me to understand spiritual stuff and spiritual power. And I was afraid I would hear the wrong spirit. And I was afraid, like, I wouldn't get it right. And so last week, Sam had came up and talked about an image, a vision, an image she saw. And it was an image of a glass house and someone sort of in this glass house. And it was raining, and the rain represented the Holy Spirit. And in that glass house, the call was to open and try to experience more of the Holy Spirit. Like, open a window, open a door. And I feel like that really resonated to me because for a lot of my life, I was that a little girl in that glass house. And the Spirit has been so gentle. Now, one thing I want to say is the Spirit isn't always super gentle. He can be a little, you know, he's powerful. Let's not tame the Holy Spirit. But in my case, the Spirit has been so gentle. There were times where I'd poke out of my glass house and I was like, ooh, too scary, too much. One time I told my supervisor, I want to learn more about the Spirit. And she introduced me to another person. And that person was like, I imagine God right here. And I fall down on the ground and I worship him. And I was like, oh, too much. I'm scared. Right? But so I tried little by little. And I took some classes on it. And I remember even, I have my little booklet. It was like Holy Spirit on campus, because I work with college students. And so I had colleagues who were teaching me about the Holy Spirit. And one of them was like, you know, listen, write down when you think you're hearing from the Holy Spirit and try to see if it's true. And so I started writing down. I think I saw this vision for John, and then it was like, oh, it didn't work. And then I was like, I saw this vision for Rachel. Oh, but I think it really met her. And so more and more I opened up. I sort of overcame the fear. And so a lot of times you'll hear me pray, and my favorite prayer is, God, make what is yours, you know, stick. Bring out what is yours. What is not yours, please take it away. Because for me, I realized that my fear means that my God is too small, and that actually God can fix anything that I make a mistake. So if I'm listening wrong, God, please tell me. And one thing is, let's do it communally. When we do it communally, we will understand more of who God is. And so the Holy Spirit has been gentle, and sometimes I still run into my glass house. That's the honest truth, my friends. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. But the other day, I was like, a friend was messaging me, my friend John, and I was like, oh, John, I think I see a picture of you sawing. I don't know if it means anything. I always give a caveat. I don't know if it means anything. But then he sends me a picture of, like, all this wood he had actually, like, saw. He was actually, like, you know, sawing. But he had an electric saw. I saw, like. So I was like, I don't know what that means. But that is a gift from God. And so, friends, I do feel that for some of you, the word you got was fear. Or that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, there's a little bit of fear. And God is saying, yeah, open a window, try it out. And also, at the same time, friends, as I was preparing this talk, I also felt that there's some of you who are very comfortable with the Holy Spirit, and you've been working, you know, you come from a culture that is very spiritual. And sometimes you look at people in glass houses, and you sort of want to help them. get out of glass house. Pray for us who are in the glass house, but don't come and try to smash our glass house. That's the Holy Spirit's work in us. And so I'm not sure if that was anything, but that's what I got when I was preparing. So friends, one integral part of the Holy Spirit is learning how to listen. And it's the end of my talk, so I can't talk about that. But luckily, next week, Pastor Paul will be talking about the Spirit throughout the epistles. And there's a lot more instructions there. And then the weeks after that, the next series is discerning God's will. So there'll be weeks on discerning God's will. And I'm so excited about that because I think one of the most important part is how do we discern God's will? How do we hear the Holy Spirit as we work together? Because as we think about Vision 2033, a faith that reaches and a love that serves, we want to be able to reach those around us. But the one thing I want us to be aware of is the Holy Spirit is already at work in the lives of your friends, in your family, at school. He's already at work there. And our job is not to manufacture and to be like, to tell people, no, you have to come and believe. He's already at work. We need to listen to where is the Spirit at work, and we need to follow his leading. That's the task as we think about Vision 2033. So my friends, as we see today, God has promised his presence, his power, and his purpose for our life. And it's not about us, it's about him, as Randy said. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit who is in us would speak powerfully to us and would empower us for his purpose. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would bring to my friends what you have for them. What is your Spirit saying? Lord, would you magnify that? Would it make it clearer? And Lord, for any of us who may have fear, we pray that that your Spirit would embolden and empower us. Lord, for any of my friends here who are just checking out, Jesus, just checking this out, would your Spirit help them see, open their eyes, and open their hearts? Lord, it is your Spirit that is at work, and we need to be following your Spirit. Lord, we know that you are the one to be glorified in this. We pray this in all your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.